Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knez. Vic Junie has popped in here as well, here on the program with you this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Junie, very excited to have Mitch Trubisky, new quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can see it on his face.
Trubisky era has begun. Yeah, congratulations, Junie.
You just really ruined his morning.
Real big day for the program here with Mitch Trubisky getting things done. Joe, it's been a busy time in the AFC. The Buffalo Bills, how about their day yesterday? You go get O.J. Howard, and you sign Von Miller to a six-year, $120 million contract, including $51 million in guarantees that averages $17.5 million through the first 4 years. So Von Miller now with the Buffalo Bills. They've already gotten Roger Saffold as well. O.J. Howard, which we've talked a lot about here on the show, going to the Buffalo Bills as well. You start to look at some of the other top-tier teams in the AFC as well. Cincinnati, as we knew that they would, bolstering their offensive line. Alex Kappa going to Cincinnati and kind of shoring up the interior there. Ted Karras going there as well. Amari Cooper to Cleveland. We talked about Trubisky going to Pittsburgh. And the Colts making some moves yesterday as well. Yannick Ngakoue acquired yesterday from the Las Vegas Raiders in exchange for Rock Ya-Sin. So Ngakoue now back in the AFC South to the Indianapolis Colts. What do you think of that move, Joe Rexroad?
Yeah, and I think his best days are behind him. But, I mean, he's still a pretty good player. And honestly, I don't feel like Rock Ya-Sin is going to be like missed, you know, desperately in Indianapolis. So I think it's a good move for them. I don't know how impactful he's going to be, but they need to really kind of remake that whole group. I mean, obviously they got some young guys who have been banged up who they are hoping will really come along too next year. I mean, they've got their own guys who are, you know, you're basically hope is their strategy.
Yes.
You know, with Odie Igbo from Vanderbilt, of course, one of them that they're, you know, really hopeful on. But it's not a bad move. I mean, to swap. I mean, they've got to get better in the back end too. But yeah, you look at the Bills. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, Von Miller. I thought he looked pretty good. You know, late last season, he still looks like a guy. So you got to like what they've done. O.J. Howard, that was one of my possibilities for the Titans for sure. Just one of those intriguing talents. Hasn't worked out for various reasons, mostly just him. But I think, you know, he also, like, they certainly knocked him down the depth chart, obviously, in the last couple of years. I still think he could have some good football in him, but now he's on an AFC rival. So the Titans have to go to – maybe the Titans had no interest. Certainly, I think the Titans – just because of the relationship with Jason Light and John Robinson have some insight, right, with players on that roster. You've seen them take some bucks before. So that's why another reason I thought maybe O.J. Howard might be a possibility for them. But he's out. And, yeah, a lot of these teams are doing big things. And I'm sensing, I don't know about panic from Titans fans, but a little bit of antsiness. Like, you know, when are the Titans going to do something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easy to sit here, and this happens a lot in free agency. You sit here and you see other teams around you presumably getting better, and you think to yourself, oh, okay, well, other teams are getting better, and the Titans are treading water. I guess you can make an argument right now that they're worse. They don't really have a wide receiver room at the moment. My question to you is, as you watch what's happening in the AFC right now, which really just kind of looks like an arms race at the moment, and they're doing it different ways, like Oakland, good gracious, Las Vegas is loading up on pass rush, like Chandler Jones signed by them yesterday. So Titans know firsthand what Chandler Jones could do. No question about that, based on the game he had last year against them with Arizona. Za'Darius Smith coming over from the Packers, signing back with the Ravens as well. Like, there's a lot of teams spending money and presumably getting better. Has it changed the way that you view the Titans based on some moves that other teams have done thus far in terms of where they may fall in the AFC pecking order?
Well, I would I don't know. Like, I don't feel like Chandler Jones all of a sudden it's like, well, now you're behind the Raiders. I mean, I already had the Titans behind the Bills. So now I guess they're further behind the Bills.
What about the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, that's – well, I said it yesterday. I mean, I'm all that. Chargers are going to the bowl, man. So, I mean, you start with them, and then you list everybody else. But seriously, the Chargers are – they're fascinating. They look awfully good. And really, if everything worked out for them, you know, like you get a full season of Eckler and everything, they're good team. So, yeah, I mean, right now, I guess that's one that you would put ahead of them. I mean, do you put the Bengals now ahead of the Titans because they are addressing the offensive line? They lost their tight end.
I mean, I do.
They beat the Titans. You do? Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, basically, like the best thing that's happening to the Titans is that they're not being moved out of the AFC South.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing that the Titans have going for it, it's kind of like your team. You know, like your team's been very good, but it's also been very nice to be in that division.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, the Titans. I mean, they signed Trenton Cannon yesterday. Special teams guy, running back. I think
can't wait for the shot out of a cannon puns that are gonna come with that. That'd be great.
Ah, yeah, he is very fast. He's a dangerous returner. Just don't see a ton of kickoff returns, you know, in the NFL. But they've done nibbled around the edges a little bit here. But you talk about like, are the Titans worse? I mean, markedly on paper, right at this moment. They have no receiver room. They have no tight end room. I mean, they have a great receiver and a good depth guy. They have no tight end room. They just lost their, really good left guard.
Yep.
And they also are light a starting cornerback, by the way. I mean, there's a lot to, and we still don't know exactly how middle linebacker looks. So right now on paper, they're considerably worse. Also, I still have them winning the AFC South. So, that's sort of where things are. But I don't know. I do feel like we're getting to the time period where a tight end signing would be appropriate.
Yeah. Cody on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says, guys, what are the Titans doing? Are we going for DK? NWI is our second wide receiver. This has to be some sort of sick joke. This is coming from Cody on the text line. He's up on NWI, friend of the show.
Well, look, he is friend of the show, and he's a good player. But no, he's not. He can't be your number two receiver. No. But again, I think there's a real chance that the number two receiver is with the first pick in the 26th overall pick in the 2022 draft, the Titans take, fill in the name. But so if you're waiting until then before any significant receiver moves, then I understand people being not excited about that. I still say tight end is – you have a great receiver. You have Jeff Swaim at tight end.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of other receivers who can fill out a room. And, again, Westbrook King is a good depth guy. You have – Jeff Swaim at tight end.
Let's go back to the text line. Liam on the text line says, it feels like we're standing still. I don't want to throw money around just to be making moves, but it would be nice to feel like we have a plan. Hopefully J-Rob doesn't feel so burned by Julio and Clowney that he's just given up on high-profile guys in favor of compensatory picks and value guys. This coming from Liam on the text line.
Well, it's a fair point. Obviously, he has been burned. And, again, with Clowney, it's a bad year for him in terms of health. He has a good year in terms of health, and he's basically what you thought you're going to get the next year, but he's in Cleveland. And like you said earlier, maybe that could be the, the next thing for Julio Jones.
Yeah.
I will say that, it feels like they're in a little bit of a maybe responding to those moves, like being a little more cautious and not in the whole like, absolute all the chips in move. But you know, if it's purely not going after anyone and you're just hoping on draft picks and things like that, then you're probably going to be falling behind further some of these AFC teams. I'd be surprised if there's nothing done. I'll also be surprised if all of a sudden they do all these things to create room and make a huge splash move. I just don't see that coming.
Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Preds taking on the Flyers tonight. We'll have that opportunity for you at 8:45. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At this point, you think about what's happened in Julio's career up until this point. What do you think the market looks like for him going forward?
I think, Laura, injury certainly caught up to Julio Jones. If you remember last year when the Tennessee Titans acquired him and everybody was like, oh, my God, they're going to have an amazing passing attack. And one of the first things I said was, look, he's on the other side of this thing. His age is going to catch up to him. He's been often injured. But I think in terms of his future, he certainly can go to a team that has a dominant 2-3 receiver, a 1-2 receiver, and become that veteran complementary piece in certain downs and situations. His career is not over, but the Julio Jones that we saw 6 years ago certainly is.
That was Keyshawn Johnson from ESPN breaking it down, the Julio Jones move by the Titans. Where does Julio go from here? What does he have left in the tank? Going to be interesting to see what happens with Julio Jones as this offseason progresses. The Titans releasing Julio Jones yesterday, a post-June 1st designation, which means it will be after June 1st when the savings kick in for the Titans. Roughly $9.5 million that they will save this year. Although, as Rex Road has pointed out, still a $4.8 million dead cap hit. And what is it, 8 next year? 8.4 next year?
Yeah, you know what? Let me make sure on that. But, yeah, I believe it's going to be, you know, a total of about 13 in dead money, which, again, now, look, I mean, this is where, you know, cap goes up next year and all that stuff. And there is a, I mean, you can survive that. Yeah, it's 4.8 and 8.4. So let me do math and 13.2. 4.8 this year. But again, overall, you're going to still save $9.5 million this year. Basically, with the money, and the way I kind of look at it is whatever they can create now in space and do, okay, you can do that. And then that what you're going to get on June 1st, like that's essentially, it's a little bit more, but it's basically like your money that you're going to use to sign your draft class.
Yeah.
Right. So that will be put to use for sure. But it is, you look at the whole deal. I mean, the deal obviously is a big failure in the last two huge swings by John Robinson, which, by the way, just to be clear again, fully in favor of the Clowney move, fully in favor of the Julio Jones move. Both of them worked out very poorly for the Titans. So does that mean it's a change in strategy for John Robinson? I mean, look, yesterday on Jared versus Joe, he believes that he thinks, of course, because of course you have to come up with some reason other than like the cap for anything, yeah. Right? But I disagree with him, but it's an interesting thing to think about is, you know, he thinks this is Amy Adams Strunk telling everybody that's enough, stop. Now, again, if that's true, then all of a sudden all the great things about Amy Adams Strunk, you know, change because if you're a Titans fan, you're like, wait a minute, you know, you're not trying to win anymore.
Saving up money for that new stadium?
Well, right. And that's Jared's point. It's like, well, no. I mean, it's two different things. I mean, they're going to be maxed to the cap, and they've already kicked the can on some things. But are they willing to go beyond that? Because some of these teams are. I mean, some of these teams out here are figuring out ways to – well, it's not figuring out ways. There are ways. But you still – there is a cost for that. Are the Titans changing strategy? I don't know. I mean, at this point, we're waiting for some corresponding moves, and it's hard to answer that question. I don't think it's like something from above saying that's enough spending. But they have been burned a couple times here. Ultimately, you know, they're going to have a great draft class, and the last draft class is going to have to look a lot better by mid-fall than it does right now.
Preds coach John Hines coming up at 7:30. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, this feels like the complete opposite of being great around Tannehill. The complete opposite of being great around Tannehill. Joe, I knew that we would get a comment like that today, because as soon as we spent so much time this offseason of talking about being great around Ryan Tannehill, and right now, not knowing what other moves John Robinson might have up their sleeve, it's difficult for me to imagine them really doing that. I mean, yes, you could have a rookie wide receiver come in and be instant impact. We see that a lot more often in today's NFL. So I'm not going to discount that possibility. You could still find a tight end out there, I suppose, that could come in and really help you. But it does kind of feel like, especially on the tight end front, like you need to have a move made there pretty soon, because I don't think the idea of just drafting a tight end and hoping he comes in and is a stud for you is a good move for the Titans.
No, the great around Tannehill thing. Well, look, whatever happened, whatever they did do, didn't do, drafted, signed, whatever, it's going to keep coming up, of course. And I mean, look, it's true that you need to do that, and it's also true that right now, they are absolutely worse around Tannehill. Yep. Again, it's not over, but this is the limbo of the offseason. But I'm with you, like, if you think that you're going to get a rookie tight end in here and immediately make a huge difference, that's a lot harder to count on than a rookie receiver at this point. Again, I'll be shocked if there aren't some moves at that position. Receiver, are they going to try to go after somebody? Are they going to try to figure out a way to spend some money there? I don't know. I would not have guessed so before, but now that they've done this, maybe they will. I think some of the offensive lines, again, I think you're definitely going to be counting on someone you drafted to try to help the offensive line, but some of the be great around Tannehill is just hoping that player A, B, and C are great this offseason. And I know that's not comforting for fans. You much prefer to have some new shiny toys, some new names in place that make you feel like it's going to be better.
Got a texture that says, how are the Bucs able to afford Chris Godwin and the Titans can't seem to afford a decent tight end who are fairly cheap on the market? I'm starting to believe that Stillman has a point about the salary cap, even though I disagree with him on basically everything. That's coming from a texter on the text line.
Well, Stillman does have a point on the salary cap in terms of, see, what we need to do, I wish we just recorded our conversation we had the other day.
Yes.
With Stillman off the air. Because it's absolutely true that you can do things to create space and sign people that people are like, how are you doing that? We've seen it with various teams. It's also true that there is a cost, that there is still a cap, and there's, you know, like you still make decisions that are based on the cap. Everybody does. The Titans would still have Roger. You can say whatever you want about Roger Saffold, okay? Roger Saffold would still be a Titan next year if not for where they are with the cap, period. He's still the better option of anything else that you can come up with, including Aaron Brewer or whoever you might draft. You still may hope that you can draft someone to ultimately replace him and be cheaper, but that's a cap move. Jackrabbit Jenkins, he's okay. He's a starting cornerback. You think that the Titans are just like, no, we're good. Farley's going to be awesome. I mean, I know he's coming off the ACL and the back surgery, but nah, he's a starter. We don't need Jenkins. No, they would much rather be able to bring Farley along as the fourth corner next year and hopefully replace Jenkins. But you want Jenkins to be on the roster. You can't have him on the roster. Why? Because of the cap. That said, I also understand the question on the text line there. How is this team doing this, and, you know, my team can't do this? Some teams are more willing to go in there and just blow it out right now. And I think we have to wait until the free agency period is done to know for sure that the Titans aren't. But right now they seem to be being very careful and very conscious of the cap.
When we come back, we'll be joined by John Hines, Predators head coach. Big game tonight for the Nashville Predators as they take on the Philadelphia Flyers. That's coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. It's the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game. Jasper's is located on Weston Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area. Plus, they offer free parking. We know what a big deal that is on Weston Avenue. And specials for every Preds game day, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottle domestics as well. So come on down to Jasper's next game day for happy hour every single weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and 2 for 1 beers all day long on Sundays. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. The Nashville Predators in action tonight on the road, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Going to be a special night tonight in Philadelphia with Claude Giroux. And to help us talk more about the Preds, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds head coach John Hines. John, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Just hanging down here in Philly, ready for a big game tonight.
Absolutely.
How about you guys?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, John. So, obviously, I would assume you have to like the way your team is playing as of late. We had Duchesne on yesterday, and he says it's kind of funny. He feels like, you know, in the last stretch here, maybe St. Louis is the best game you guys have played, and that's the one that you lost. But just overall, how do you feel about your group and the way that they're approaching the game, the way they're playing right now?
Well, I have a lot of respect for the way that our guys are going about their business right now. And, you know, we constantly talk with our group about, you know, icing the game that gives us the best chance to win regardless of who we play, and being consistent in that game. And I think that, parts of February and then going into Seattle on that road trip, we had parts of it, but we weren't very consistent in the way that we wanted to play. And I think, you know, since that point in time, we're competing at the level that gives us a chance to win. I think probably the biggest improvement has been our attention to detail without the puck and being hard to play against with our details and our checking game. And that's, you know, right now it's at a level that gives us a chance to win every night.
Yeah, well, and I know we've talked to you previously, John, about Seattle, and we've talked to some other guys too about that. It just seems like, you know, not knowing where things are going from here, like that's going to be maybe a moment you look back on as a good moment for the team. Were you basically the same as, I know you try to be very consistent after that game, or did you, you know, ratchet up the intensity or the demands and being more attentive to detail after that game? Like, did you react to that game a little more, with a little more fire, I guess?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important. You see at different components of what you need to do with the team. And, we had several meetings leading up to that game just about our attention to detail of, you know, we were giving up easy offense, we were giving up odd man rushes, we weren't taking care of details in our own zone. And, we had several meetings on that prior to it. And, you know, basically we talked about, you know, our team has a recipe to win, and it starts with the commitment level in which we play with, and it wasn't good enough. And it wasn't consistent enough. And, you know, we've had a good relationship all year long, coaches and players, in the sense that, you know, we try to do a good job of figuring out these are the areas that we're doing well, these are the areas that we need fixing. And the players, you know, by and large, have done a very good job of responding to the areas that need to be touched up or fixed or not where they need to be. And it was lagging. And basically we pointed those areas out and, talked to the players that this time of year, it's the players' time of year. They got to be driven from within to compete and play the right way night in and night out if we want to give ourselves a chance to win and make the playoffs, and they responded the right way.
John, obviously, you know, Forsberg and Duchesne continue to be productive regardless of really where they're put in the lineup. What do you like about that trio and the way that they've played, with Johansson now joining the fold with those two?
Well, I like the way that Forsberg and Duchesne have played consistently this year. There's way more reliability in their game from the competitive aspects that, you know, it takes to access your skill and score and produce. I mean, they're playing fast. They're competitive on the puck. They have second and third effort. They're turning plays at the right time and not turning pucks over. And their attention to detail without the puck is at a level it needs to be, where they can, you know, they can play 18 to 20 minutes and play against any line or any D pair on the other team, where you can just play those guys in those situations. So, you know, that's been the biggest difference. And I think, you know, that was the thing we were trying to get to with those guys was, and they've done a heck of a job of just understanding, you know, that you have to compete at a high level, consistently and reliable. You got to play both sides of the puck with the game the right way. And when you do that and you're a highly talented player, now you're a team driver, you're a point producer, and that's what those guys have been able to do this year.
Are there things they've done this year, John, that also can be tied to just them being together so much? Like, are there just chemistry things, second nature things that just build over time that you've seen?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, you know, when you have, you know, whether it's with, you know, I think really four of them, really, when you think about Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson, and Granlund. I mean, they're all very smart offensive players, instinctual guys. They all have very good hockey sense. So, yes, I think the more, you know, they've all played a fair amount together this year pretty consistently, and you can see some of the offensive components, just understanding little tendencies, where pucks are going to go, where guys are going to go. And I think also understanding that, you know, those guys, they all can turn plays at different times. So when you're the player without the puck, if you're getting yourself into scoring areas or whatnot, lots of times they're going to be able to find you. And that's where those chemistry things come in. Is they played together for a while, but they think the game the same way. They have a high hockey IQ, so that allows them to be able to turn plays and see things that, you know, sometimes other guys won't be able to.
John Hines on the line with his Preds head coach, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, you had some strong comments about Roman Josi the other day, being the best defenseman in the game. Hard to argue with the numbers that he's putting up right now. I mean, obviously, I mean, there's so many good defensemen around the league, and, you know, when you start talking about Norris Trophy, the Cale Makars and the Victor Hedmans, and all those guys come up in conversations with Josi. What kind of separates Josi from the pack in your mind when it comes to just the way he impacts the game for your team?
You know, I think with a lot of these awards, how would the team do if Roman Josi wasn't on the team? And I think when you look at how he drives our team, you know, he's our best player, he's probably our most consistent player. The way that he produces points, the way that he changes the dynamic of a game with his ability, he's a team captain, he's a leader of the team, he makes other players around him better. You know, I think when you look at those, I mean, Cale Makar, Hedman, you know, you're talking about the elite of the elite. You know, in my personal opinion, I still stand by the fact that when you look at what Roman's been able to do, he drives the Nashville Predators. And that to me is when he's at the top of his game, whether you're talking about a Hart Trophy, an MVP, a Norris Trophy winner, how would that team be able to function without that player driving the team? And I think that he's the guy out of all those other players. They're all highly talented. You can make cases for everybody. But, you know, for me, he's a leader, he's a captain, and he's a team driver.
You know, John, when things weren't going as well like last season, and this is, I think, around here with Shea Weber having been the captain so long, you know, people have a certain image of what the captain should be for a team, right? Sometimes that happens. You know, when things weren't going as well, we certainly heard from fans, you know, what about Josi as a captain, things like that. And all the word internally was, no, actually, he's a very good leader. Have you seen him progress in that way, you know, in the last year or so, even in that role? And if so, in what way?
Yeah, he has. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, you learn, I think, as you go through as a captain is that, you know, lots of times you become a captain because, one, you're a very good player, particularly at the pro level. You're one of the best players on the team. And the second one is a lot of times you set the example. So you practice the right way. You're in unbelievable shape. You live right. You play the game consistently, and you impact the team in a positive way in the games. A lot of times that's setting the example, but leadership is setting the example. But the next step for him was then holding people accountable to those same standards. You know, the way that Roman goes about his business, he's one of the most highly talented players in the league. But when you look at his work ethic, compete, reliability, consistently, how he gets better every offseason. But to be a leader of a team, you can't just set the example. You have to set the example in the way you do things. And then the true leadership and growth for Roman has been the willingness to be a little bit uncomfortable in situations, to hold other people to those same standards. And that's the growth of being a really good player that wears a letter and a captain to being a leader.
John, last thing for you here. How important have the last two starts for David Riddick been for your group, for him to step in and play as well as he has and come away with two wins for you?
Well, they've been really important because, David hasn't, obviously, as we know, he hasn't played a ton this year, but, you know, we did talk with him about this point in the season. We're certainly going to need him to be able to come in and play, and he's got, some great NHL experience. And I think the fact that he's come in and he's been ready, he's played well, it breeds his own confidence. I think it helps the team have some confidence in him because they haven't played in front of him a ton. And now coming down the stretch I think they see his work ethic, in practice and what he's done and how supportive of a teammate he's been to the team and to Juice. But now we're going to need him to be able to come in and win some games. And I think anytime, he comes in and performs the way that he does and you get the right results, it certainly breeds personal confidence for the goalie, but also for the rest of the team.
Preds coach John Hines, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. John, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Good luck tonight coming up against Philly.
All right, guys. Have a Guinness for me, and we'll catch up soon.
We can do that. John Hines, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Oh, I know Rex Road's all over that one.
Me too.
A green Guinness.
Yeah, man.
Green Guinness. Michelle, by the way, the green, it's just food coloring. It doesn't change the taste of beer.
Yeah, it's still beer.
Okay, well, now you just ruined the excitement I have. It's 7:41 in the morning on St. Patrick's Day and the first day of March, and I was so looking forward to having a green beer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still going to have one, but...
Like, if I could create a Shamrock Shake beer, I would.
Yeah.
That sounds absolutely fire. Oh, yeah. Shamrock Shakes are elite.
I mean, man, I got to have one of those soon.
Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your submissions, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. As always, we love your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Yes, and I won't spend a lot of time on it. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Basically, you let me go first, so honestly, my best is so good. I'm struggling to even come up with a worst because the NCAA tournament is so great that it basically blots out the sun and dwarfs all bad in the world. All evil and ills in the world are washed away by the wonderfulness of the NCAA tournament.
We can see it on your face.
Yeah. So. It's just, it's the best, man. And I am excited today. At some point, I should, count up, the games I've covered and all this stuff in this thing because it's been a lot because I'm old. But I'm excited today for the first time in 3 years, really, since covering Tennessee's loss to Purdue in Louisville in the Sweet 16, to be in an arena that is packed and it has that thing you can't quite duplicate in any other sporting event, an NCAA tournament site. And, today, if Longwood hits a few threes and all of a sudden it's tight midway through the first half, and that whole building starts to go against Tennessee. You feel it, and it matters, and it affects the outcome of these games. So we're gonna have, you know, the fans all there, and I'm really excited for it. My worst, I will say that the three seed for Tennessee was definitely bad. Also, the reaction to it, though, like it's enough already, and it's one seed line, and teams are sometimes to make the bracket fit. Teams have to people understand that to make the bracket fit. Sometimes teams have had to bump either up or down a seed for that to work, whether it's like avoiding a rematch or whatever it is. It happens. They have a pretty good draw. Embrace that. Forget Joe Lunardi. Okay, Joe Lunardi will again matter, like, kind of next year, okay, at some point. Enjoy the basketball.
The return of Vandy Joe here at 7:49 a.m. here on the program. All over Tennessee fans, I love it. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports for this week.
I just need to preface really quick. Joe just made me so happy by just talking about the tournament and all the games and the games coming up today. And I'm smiling like a little kid on Christmas morning.
I can hear you
smiling.
You two are – this is a big day for you two. It really is. I can tell. The moment I walked in this morning, Michelle's been just buzzing.
Listen, I woke up a little groggy this morning, and then I got here and I'm like, oh, it's March. It's St. Patrick's Day. Oh, it is a great day to be alive. Okay, but – my best in sports, I will start with that just because we're all really happy right now. Ty Washington he's one of the Kentucky basketball players. He's a freshman. Actually, Kyle Tucker, friend of the show, wrote an article on The Athletic I saw last night. Earlier this year, Ty's mom found out that she was having kidney failure and tried to go to some games, but wasn't really supposed to travel because she had to do dialysis and they live in Arizona, so it's hard for her to get to a bunch of the games. And she was actually able to surprise him in Indianapolis because they were able to figure out a kind of a portable dialysis machine that she got certified, or she got trained on how to work it. So she was able to surprise him in Indianapolis. So she gets to watch him play basketball in the NCAA tournament. He's a freshman, and he'll probably be a lottery pick. So very exciting for him and his family, and just awesome what medical technology can do. And so happy that she gets to be there to watch him.
Very nice.
We love our mothers.
Quick aside on that. I'm so glad that you called that out, because that's an incredible story. Quick aside on that. The other day, Kyle is like, Ty's mom is letting me break the news to him by this story.
Yeah.
Like, she's not telling you. She's like, yeah, he can find out by reading your story. I'm like, how do these parents like you so much, Kyle?
It's amazing.
It doesn't happen too often.
She just sends the article to Ty. Hey, you got to read this. I got something to tell you.
Yeah, cool. Exactly.
Okay. On the flip side, we haven't even talked about this, but my worst in sports, kind of been going on for a little bit now. Brittany Griner, she's a WNBA player, is being detained in Russia now. I think it's close to a month, because she was going through security or something and they found cannabis oil in her bag. So she's currently in a jail in Russia. But I would just like to preface this. WNBA players have to play overseas so they can make money, because they don't make any money here. So if people didn't realize that, people are like, I've had so many people be like, well, why is she playing overseas? She's in the WNBA. Because they don't make money. So that is a little underlying fact to that. But yeah, now she's in Russia. Very scary situation. So hopefully she gets everything figured out and they get her back to the States.
That is not a place you want to be right now.
Definitely not, with everything going on as well.
I don't think there's any question about that. My best thing in sports for this week, you know, obviously I think it's the NCAA tournament, but I'm going to go a different route here. NHL trade deadline. Love it. Love me some NHL trade deadline stuff. It finally got kicked off last night and some trades are starting to roll in. Apparently a lot of people wanted Cal Yarncroak, because the Flames gave up a second rounder this year, a third rounder next year, and a fourth rounder the year after that for Cal Yarncroak, which is just, it's pretty incredible to think about. Cal Yarncroak fetched a better price than Victor Arvidsson did, but he did. It was pretty incredible. Congratulations to the Flames. Cal Yarncroak back in there.
That's wild.
It is.
Is that not wild?
It is wild. Look, I knew, you know, when we started talking about fourth rounder, I knew I was probably going too low there, just because this happens every year at the deadline. Like, people, especially when they feel like there's some pressure to make some moves, they overspend and overpay. at the deadline. But, man, that's a lot. Like, if Cali Yarncroke is worth that, if the Predators did trade Philip Forsberg, what in the world would they get for Philip Forsberg? It's amazing to think about. But I love the NHL trade deadline. I don't know if it's quite the NBA trade deadline, but it's pretty darn good. Love me the NHL trade deadline. So looking forward to that coming up throughout the day today, over the weekend as well. Worst thing in sports, and doesn't really affect me all that much, but I really was hoping Freddie Freeman came back to the Braves and, you know, continued to play his career through the Braves there. Obviously, big part of them winning the World Series last year, and he did not come back to the Braves. They bring in Max Olson, and now Freddie Freeman signs a 6-year, $162 million deal with the LA Dodgers yesterday. So not only did he not come back to the Braves, he's now with one of the Braves' chief rivals in the NL as well. Going to be tough for Braves fans to see Freddie Freeman on the other side.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, the only answer back to that is you just want it all. But, I mean, you got to have him back, you know. It's like you almost ruined the party that you should still be having for winning it all last year. And I think we should call the Flames the Boy Calgary Flames.
I like that. I like that.
That was a good one, Joe.
They put out their Cali Gary yesterday. Maybe a little too far.
I mean, he's a nice player. What are we doing here, folks?
I don't know. Congrats to him, though. Hope Cali Yarncroke has fun in Calgary. Viking Matt on the text line says, man, Freddie's coming home. Go Dodgers. So has taken my worst thing in sports and made it his best. Viking Matt, very happy with
Jimmy
Freddie.
Wyatt. I'm sure Jimmy Wyatt's wearing that Dodgers cap so. Today.
No, the visor, Joe. He's wearing the visor.
I'm sorry. That's right, the visor. Yeah.
Mike on the text line says, the best is end of March Madness. So I guess he doesn't like March Madness. And the worst is Freddie Freeman signing with the Dodgers. First the lockout, now this. I am done with baseball. This is coming from Mike on the text line.
So I'm presuming this is a Braves fan. So again, your team just won it all 5 months ago. I am done with baseball. That's sad. That's just sad to me.
Nate on the text line says, my best thing in sports is after Ovechkin passed Jager for the goal scoring record in the NHL, now one behind Gretzky, by the way, Jager put out a congrats video. And then at the end, he said, don't stop scoring because I haven't officially retired. It might come out after your scoring record. Jager is still playing overseas. It's kind of amazing. He's like 75 years old.
That is insane. I mean, Jager was my go-to on NHL 94 on Sega. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was, you know, the Jager Lemieux. Woo! Can't deal with that.
Another vote from Ethan from Lawrenceburg for Freddie Freeman leaving the Braves as the worst thing in sports. Braves fans are hurting right now. We probably need to check on Chase. Like, it's been a rough couple of days for Chase with Freddie Freeman.
Again, just try to remember the good times. They were just a couple months ago.
Guys, I also have one more really quick. I can't believe I forgot this in best and worst. I think it would fit in both categories.
Okay.
There was at the NIT Vanderbilt Belmont the other day, that video I sent you, which is just very crazy. People getting wild at the NIT at Memorial in Nashville.
Keep
the other
your pants
day.
On when you're going to the basketball game, folks. Keep your pants on.
I mean, the thing is, I need
Cheeks.
To see more of the video.
Literally.
Like, I need to see more of the video to understand what happened, but I also don't want to see more.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to, but it's like, so did the guy just drop trowel and, like, just keep his butt exposed to everybody for, like, a long period of time? Or was that, like, they just sort of slipped off him and he was going to dance and then he quickly pulled them up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he was doing that intentionally, how are the people around him not saying something?
I don't know.
I need more information on this. Actually, that's what I need. I need more information. I don't need more visual. I need more information.
Party at Belmont Vanderbilt the other night in the NIT, apparently. Good stuff.
I mean, they were, it was, it's like sun's out, guns out. I don't know what.
Sun's out, buns out.
If Belmont fan freaks out, cheeks out. I don't know.
This has been the best and worst things in sports. We'll continue to take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans and the NCAA tournament as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.